First, ice cream and summer go hand in hand. On this week's edition of Food Friday, we wanted to talk about some ice cream projects at home. But making ice cream, while fun, usually requires a special ice cream maker of some sort. Our next guest joins us to make the case that we can make great ice cream at home without fancy equipment. Maya Warren is an ice cream scientist and received her PhD in food science at UW-Madison. Maya, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Before we start making our own ice cream here, remind us what got you, Maya, into ice cream in particular.
So I've always just been that person that has loved ice cream as a kid. And everyone says that they love ice cream. And I love science too. And so I was like, and I was in high school, in college, I was like, how can I combine those two together to literally do what I love and love what I do every day? And the science of ice cream, it is, I guess. And I ended up, you know, going to Wisconsin Madison and getting my PhD, in Babcock Hall. That's where I was. And I just absolutely love anything and everything about ice cream. But the beauty of it is that, you know, it's pretty much speaks every language. You can find in every culture some type of frozen aerated dessert, and it always just makes people so happy. So I just love what ice cream does to people.
There's a lot of science, I know, that goes into the making of ice cream. What are a couple of the things we in the general public should know about some of the science of ice cream?
So the science of ice cream is so important because ice cream itself is actually made up of three different phases that you have to be able to get right in order to have the quality texture that you're looking for, and of course the taste that you're looking for. So ice cream itself is actually part solid. So, you know, we have the ice crystals and we have partially crystalline fat globules. And then we also have air cells. So there's quite a bit of air in ice cream. The measurement for that is called overrun. And it's so critical to have the right amount of overrun. You do not want to have too much overrun. Otherwise your ice cream will be super fluffy and super, super, super airy, which some people do like super fluffy ice cream, but other people kind of like a little bit more of a denser product. And then you also have part of the phase that is semi-liquid. We don't necessarily see that, but we, you know, look at that as like free water. And so all of those three things come together, combining together with, of course, the flavor and, you know, other ingredients to make that product that is so delicious, so creamy. And you want it to be able to have a long shelf life because you're not going to eat the whole tub of ice cream in one sitting. Well,
speak
most people
yourself.
Won't. Right? Most people won't. But it is just, the science of it is so incredibly intriguing. And because it's such a relatable science, kids are able to understand it, or, you know, 85, 90 year olds are able to understand it. And it's just such a fun way to be able to teach science to kids and be able to have a ton of fun with it as well.
Well, let's get to the fun part now, making our own ice cream. And I'll say, I've always thought, Maya, that it'd be cool to make my own ice cream. But I know myself, if I went out and bought an ice cream maker, I'd use it a lot for 2-3 weeks. And then in 5 years, I'd find it tucked away in the basement again. I'm really excited about this no churn concept. What goes into making ice cream without the gear?
So without having to have an ice cream machine, we actually just need to be able to kind of dissect ice cream and then put it back together. So there's still key ingredients that are used in the no churn ice cream, just as you would use if you're using an ice cream machine. So you still need to have your sweetener source, or in this case, what I'm using often is sugar. So you still need that. You still need your milk fat source because, of course, ice cream has a legal definition in the United States where you have to have 10% or more milk fat. So you still have to bring that component of it in. You still need some water that comes in, and you need to be able to have a little bit of air in there so that when you scoop your ice cream, it's not literally an ice cube. And so there's still a balance. You still need to bring in something that can give you a bit of solid, some total solids, so that your product will freeze properly and you don't have too much water. And so there's still a balance. But the beauty of the no churn is that you literally, like, it's called no churn for a reason. You do not have to use an ice cream machine. You just need to be able to whip your heavy whipping cream to be able to have that stability that air cells will provide, as well as bring in that fat component. And if you do have an ice cream machine and you just want to try a no churn recipe just for fun, it comes out wonderful. I mean, I've had so much fun with it during quarantine times, and people are making all kind of different flavors of ice cream. And I'm just like, whoa, I didn't know that people would fall in love with it so much.
Maya Warren is with us, ice cream scientist. It's Food Friday. She's telling us how to make ice cream even without an ice cream maker. You can join in, by the way, if you like to make your own ice cream or if you have questions about how to do it. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Maya, you shared a few recipes with us. We've got them online at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's talk through, you know, one of the basic go-to flavors, your no-churn chocolate ice cream. Tell us about this and how we actually make it.
So the no-churn chocolate ice cream is absolutely delicious, especially if you are, you know, a huge chocolate fan. And it's so incredibly simple. Literally, all you need to do is take your heavy whipping cream, which I spoke about earlier, and to that you're going to add cocoa powder. But cocoa powder is quite bitter if you've had like 80% chocolate, you know, that has 80%. You know, it's quite bitter. So you need to be able to bring in a little bit of sugar with that. So add some cocoa powder, add sugar to your heavy whipping cream, and you're going to whip that with a hand mixer or a stand mixer till you get to a consistency where it's not chunky. It's pretty smooth, and it's kind of a little silky looking a little bit, but it's not wet. So there is definitely some science going in between when you're whipping it, and so I actually post videos to teach people how to whip the perfect whipped cream for making your no-churn ice cream, because you can over-whip it, which will create like a butter-type consistency, which you do not want chocolate butter ice cream. So, but when making the ice cream itself, you have the whipped cream, but then you're also going to add your sweetened condensed milk, your evaporated milk, and your little bit of sea salt and vanilla goes a long way in chocolate. And so you combine all of those together, and then you can get ready to layer in whatever it is that you want. So if you want like peanut butter in there, if you want Oreos or chocolate chips or caramel or nuts or cookie dough, like whatever it is, go ahead and layer that into your container that you're going to store it in. Put the lid on there, stick it in the freezer for about 5 to 6 hours, and voila, you have absolutely delicious no-churn chocolate ice cream that you made yourself.
That sounds so fantastic. I want to talk about some pratfalls we can hit, and let's start with the one you just mentioned, the risk of over-whipping the dairy. How do we know when it's right? Is it just a matter of feel?
It's a matter of feel and a matter of look. So you get to a certain point when you're whipping your whipped cream, when you're whipping your cream into whipped cream, where you start to really see it thicken. And it's still a little loose, but then you get to a point where it literally just looks like whipped cream. At that point, you pretty much want to stop. It's where it forms peaks. Those peaks are critical. You do not want it to be you want it to be stiff peaks, but you don't want them to be peaks that are so stiff that it looks like the whipped cream has sort of formed into clumps. You still want it to be smooth. So you want peaks, but you want them to be smooth, and you want it to have just a slight bit of shine to it, ever so slight. And that's literally the perfect whipped cream. And you mix that all in with your other ingredients, and I'm telling you, the ice cream is absolutely delicious.
What are the best ways to whip it? A hand mixer or what do you like to use?
I use a hand mixer, but I know there's a lot of bakers out there that might have stand mixers for various reasons. So a stand mixer also works very well. You can technically whip it with a whisk as well. So if you use any of those tools that are, you know, pretty standard in a home kitchen, you know, makes it easy to whip the cream. And that's one of the beauties of this no-churn ice cream, is that you do not have to have, you know, equipment that you may have to go out and really buy. There's usually something in the kitchen that you can use. And so I use a hand mixer, but I know people that have stand mixers, and I've also seen people whip it with just a whisk.
We're talking to Maya Warren, ice cream scientist. She received her PhD in food science, by the way, from UW-Madison. She is with us on this week's edition of Food Friday to talk about making no-churn ice cream at home. No special equipment purchases needed for the most part. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or have you ever made ice cream on your own with or without the special equipment? No churn or churn, either way. Tell us about your ice cream experiments, your favorite ways to make it, your favorite ways to eat it, and you might have questions for Maya as well along the way. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find a few recipes, by the way. We'll get to another one or two at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Farad. Right now, we continue our conversation about making ice cream at home without special equipment needed. Maya Warren is with us, ice cream scientist. She got her PhD in food science from UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you experimented with making ice cream with or without the special gear? Love to hear your story. What is your favorite flavor to make, favorite flavor to eat? Do you have a question? Does something go wrong for you? Maybe if you've been experimenting lately, call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to your calls now. Alec is with us in Madison. Alec, hi.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My question is making ice cream using non-dairy milk, so using soy or coconut or almond milk. I wonder whether that's possible. Perhaps your guest can answer that one for me.
Alec, thanks for the call. I know on store shelves there are non-dairy ice cream products like that. What does it take to make something like that at home, Maya?
So, Alec, thank you so much for the question. And it's a very, very, very common question now, given the times that we are in terms of, you know, allergies and or just, you know, individuals wanting to cut out dairy and or animal products in general. And when it comes to making the non-dairy vegan ice cream products at home, one of the most important things is that you actually do need like a fat source. And so in the dairy ice cream, you have the milk fat coming in. But in the non-dairy, when you're looking at maybe using soy or maybe almond milk or oat milk or anything like that, you do not necessarily have fat coming in. You have a lot of a liquid that's very thin in viscosity. It has a lot of water in it. And with that, you somehow need to be able to bring in, again, some kind of fat source. So on the store shelves, there is coconut cream, canned coconut cream, and or canned coconut milk that you can use. Feel free to buy one of those. You want to put it in your refrigerator because you want that fat to harden. And when you have that fat that's hardened, that coconut milk fat, that coconut fat, you can then use that and you can whip that. You can add a sweetened condensed coconut milk to that you can make on the stove or you can buy it from the store. But not every coconut milk or coconut cream behave the same. So you definitely want to get ones like ones from 365, like Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or Thai Kitchen. There's a couple brands that really work in order to be able to make that product. And then there's also whipping cream that is a non-dairy whipping cream. There's one by Silk that I've seen that actually will whip that. Wow. You can then foam up into, you know, be able to have some mass to be able to make your no churn vegan product. But you can also, you know, put the coconut cream into a ice cream machine as well. So there's definitely things that you can do with it, but you want to bring in the fat source in order to be able to bulk up and be able to have that smooth texture. And the beauty of coconut fat is that it mimics milk fat very, very well compared to fats that do not necessarily freeze because they're still liquid at the freezing temperature. So there's a lot of science that goes into that, but that's why sometimes on the store shelves, you'll have pints of ice cream or vegan products that are very, 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 very hard and icy. It's because the balance isn't there. So there are ways to get to the key balance.
All right. Hope that helps, Alec. Good luck. We'll go to Bowen now, calling from Madison. Bowen, hi.
Hi.
Hi. What did you want to ask about?
How many flavors are there of ice cream?
Wow, that's a huge question. How many flavors are there of ice cream, Maya? Has anybody managed to count them all?
There's so many, Bowen, that we can't even count them all. The beauty of ice cream is that it's a blank canvas. You can make any and every flavor that you want. So, Bowen, I've had ketchup ice cream. I've had chicken and waffle flavored ice cream, and I've had vanilla ice cream. So it literally spans the gamut. I've had tomato and basil flavored ice cream. I mean, literally, there's anything and everything. And all around the world, people eat ice cream or some version of frozen aerated desserts, and you can make it taste like anything you want. That's the beauty of it.
Fantastic, Bowen. Thanks so much for that question at 800-642-1234. Maya, I want to get into, speaking of, I think it's a non-dairy alternative, the world of sorbet. You've also shared with us a no-churn watermelon sorbet. Tell us about this dessert.
Yes, Rob, it is so incredibly delicious. So the beauty here is that you not have to have an ice cream machine, and all you need to do is take some delicious watermelon, which of course, you know, it's fruit season right now. So watermelon or mango or strawberries or anything of that nature, and go ahead and cut it up, put it in the freezer for about 5 hours, or, you know, you can do it overnight, and then take your frozen chunks of watermelon, put them in a blender. I got to have a heavy duty blender or food processor of some sort. You don't want it to be a kind of a weak instrument, because you don't want to, you have frozen product that you're really trying to basically churn or kind of blend up, I should say. And you're going to literally pour some honey or kind of any alternative sweetener. So if you, you know, do not want to consume, you know, added sugar, you can use honey or stevia, and you can even put in a little bit of lime juice or lemon juice, and you can even add some mint or basil or anything to it. Go ahead and blend that up in the blender, and you come out with a product that is so incredibly delicious. And it's a perfect texture to eat right away. But I've also had people freeze it in mason jars and pull it out later and have it for parties. And again, it is absolutely so refreshing, especially on these hot summer days. And you can even put them into like ice cube molds and put sticks in them and have them as like popsicle type desserts too. So it's vegan. It's super friendly in terms of, you know, allergies and things like that. So I definitely say go over there, give it a try. And for adults only, feel free to put alcohol in it too, because that really takes it up a notch.
We're talking to Maya Warren about making ice cream without fancy gear at home. That recipe she just mentioned for no-churn watermelon sorbet is one of three she's shared with us. You can find them at WPR.org/foodfriday. Let's go back to your calls now. Linda is on the line in Ladysmith. Linda, hello.
Hi. I'm just calling about frozen yogurt. Dairy ice cream doesn't agree with me, but I can eat frozen yogurt. So can you make some comments about that, please? Thank you.
Thanks for the call. So that would still be dairy, but cultured dairy for that frozen yogurt, Maya. How do we sort that out?
So a lot of we get a lot of questions on, you know, well, I'm, you know, either lactose intolerant or a maldigester of milk proteins, but I can eat some dairy products. And a lot of that has to do with the level, the percentage of what that item is that you might have an allergy to in another product, but you can eat something else. So if it is a milk protein or if it is lactose, it could be the level of it that it's at compared to the amount of, you know, the overall percentage of the composition compared to the amount of sugar and or, you know, non-fat dry milk or whatever else might be added to that. So a lot of that comes down to how much your body can actually tolerate. And it doesn't mean that you're not a maldigester or of milk proteins or that you're not lactose intolerant. It just means that the level at which it is in that brand or that product, you can tolerate. And in ice cream, you may not be able to because of the levels.
I hope that helps, Linda. How about making our own froyo at home, frozen yogurt? Is that as easy or more difficult than making ice cream at home?
So, you know, I've actually never done it, but I actually think it would be pretty simple. You can take yogurt and add it to it. I made a no churn strawberry cheesecake ice cream, in which we added cream cheese. We added cream cheese to the base. So instead of adding cream cheese, we could actually add a Greek yogurt to the base to be able to get that, you know, yogurt taste in there, and then still add some of the cream. We have to still add cream in there in order to be able to get the right kind of texture and body, in order to be able to make it so that it's not too icy and you have, you know, it feels good when you put it in your mouth and it has the right delivery of taste and all of that. But I really think it could work. It's something I should definitely try.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Linda. I want to talk about one that is on your website. We don't have this one. It's at MayaWarren.com, your Dr. Maya website. This one just sounds so good to me. A no churn vanilla sea salt caramel ice cream. And I think there's a little bourbon snuck into this one. Can you tell us about this combo and making your own caramel to go in it?
Yeah, so this one is absolutely, it's a win-win-win. I made it for last week on my Instagram, Ice Cream Sundays with Dr. Maya, where I was celebrating Father's Day. And I was like, you know, what's not a better combination than ice cream with a little bit of bourbon and some sea salt caramel? And so this one is so much fun. It takes the kind of the regular ice cream base that I've been making, but then to that, I'm adding some sea salt, and I'm also adding, you know, a couple of tablespoons of bourbon or dark liquor of someone's choice. And then you also have to bring in the caramel. So to make the caramel, it's super easy to make at home. Literally, you take sugar, butter, heavy whipping cream, some vanilla extract if you want, some more bourbon if you want, make it on the stove, and you can literally make caramel in a matter of about 10 minutes. It's super easy. And once you get that really nice amber color, you don't want to overcook it, because it's super easy to overcook the caramel, and it'll end up being very, very, very bitter. So you do not want it to get too dark. You want it to still be kind of a really nice color. And you add some sea salt to that, and you've got a beautiful decadent salted caramel that you can put in your refrigerator for, you know, a matter of, you know, a few weeks to a month, and you can still have a really nice caramel that you can use. And I basically made the ice cream base and then layered in that sea salt caramel. And oh my gosh, I took it over to some of my family's house, social distancing on Sunday, and they could not believe how good it was. And these are people that don't even really love caramel that much, but they were just like, wow, this is so amazing. And, you know, I had people that made it and didn't want to put in the bourbon, or they wanted to put in another dark liquor. And I also had people that, you know, wanted to make it, but, you know, didn't get to make it yet. But it's on my Instagram, it's on my website. So people have gone back and made it. People put it with cookies. I mean, people made all kind of things with it. And I just love it. It's making people so happy.
I wish I was eating it right now. Maya, thank you so much for joining us again. It's been a lot of fun.
This is so much fun. Thank you.
Maya Warren is an ice cream scientist. She received her PhD in food science at UW-Madison. She joined us on this week's edition of Food Friday to talk about how to make no-churn ice cream at home without fancy equipment. You can find a few of the recipes she shared with us online over at wpr.org/foodfriday. Find out how to do it yourself at home. Then bring me some.